now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello, I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Lucy Potter. Welcome to Shout Out.
Today on the show is Earth Week, and as many community stations come together for the event, Steph talks to the Forest of Dean Council.
And fancy some lip service. We've got Vicky live in the studio to talk about this upcoming LGBT open mic comedy night.
All today, right here on Shout Out. None of you?
No.
Oh dear,
no.
Lara will be.
She's not here.
We're too mature.
Too mature.
It's a bold new regime.
Yeah.
I'm not reading news, I'm doing the presenting.
I know.
So, therefore, yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't mean you can't do the...
I don't feel comfortable aping Lara's signature.
Matthew smiling, going, oh my God, what have I let myself back in for? Hello.
Hello.
It's so nice to have you back, mate. It's been ages.
It has been a while, yes. It's lovely to be here with you all in this studio. And I noticed there's still the same marks on the seat.
Oh, is that?
When I was here last.
I don't want to ask about where they come from.
No, what was I to say? So I'm quite surprised we've got you, though. It's kind of, isn't it your time of year to be blowing up lots of fireworks
at
the moment?
Well, that might be what brings me to Bristol, you see. So I may be involved in some Bristol shows over the coming days.
What's your official title for
I'm
it?
A pyrotechnician, professional fireworks, yes.
Just like setting stuff on fire and seeing what happens. Is that your deal, Matt?
It is. It's artistic.
Setting things on fire.
Creating art in the sky. It's dynamic performance.
Right.
And it was actually the topic that actually brought me to Shout Out. I was talking to somebody earlier today. How did I first get involved in Shout Out? And you had me on as a guest. I think it was 2014. Talking about fireworks.
Yes, I remember.
There we go.
Yes. Yes, almost everyone comes as a guest and then we don't let them go. So, sorry, Vicky, just to pre-warn you.
But no, it's lovely to be here.
It's lovely to have you back.
Yes. Yes. And hello, Tara. How are you?
Hello. I'm all right. Thank you.
So, have you done fireworks yet? Are you doing fireworks? My garden's a bit too small for it.
My daughter's trying to get me to go to fireworks display.
You don't let any off at home, no?
Yeah, no. I don't trust myself. I think I'd set my house on lights or something like that.
Yeah, so. That's not the idea of things.
I've only ever done it once, and it genuinely was because of a malfunctioning firework. You know, you can get... I mean, Matthew's going to go, oh, they're nothing compared to the ones I've got, because you do the big, like, commercial ones, don't you? But it was one of those where it's got, like, you know, about six or eight barrels in it, and it just... Mm-hmm. Let sparks off up into the air and they explode. And one of them had obviously been put in upside down.
Oh,
and I had it in a plant pot buried so that it was held down by sand and doing all the right things. Anyway, so they're firing off into the air. One goes down into the plant pot, shatters the plant pot. The thing falls over, points at the conservatory and continues to fire into the conservatory. It wasn't very funny for the people in the conservatory.
Not good.
It was quite funny watching it as they're all screaming.
You made my point. I don't trust myself. Yes. I think we were doing the right thing.
We were trying to do them in sand and make sure I had a bucket of water next to it. And all
I think the moral of the story is go see Matthew.
Yes.
Go see the professional.
Sounds like a clinic, doesn't it?
Go see Matthew for your artistic setting things on fire needs.
Are any of yours with drones as well?
Not this year, but we do. It is a really emerging, interesting area, having drones with fireworks on. And that's something new. And drones working around fireworks as well. It has to be planned so that they don't compete with the fireworks. But it's really interesting.
Yeah, because I've seen all sorts where they even, like, the fireworks come out of the drones as well.
Yes, yes.
It's like, wow.
It is. The issue with drones, particularly if it's windy, they can't fly for very long because of the batteries in them. And it's something that gets overlooked. And a number of times you have a conversation with people saying, well, the drones can only be up for about 10 minutes. But if it's windy, you might reduce the flight time to maybe 4 or 5 minutes. Yeah. So,
mind you, to be fair, a firework doesn't even last that long. So
I had one where they had to call off, and then we watched the fireworks coming up, and they were coming, the ashes were falling down on the people.
That's
the,
very continental style of doing it. On the continent, yeah.
Just let it fall on you.
Yeah, they love it. It's called immersive experiences. You do that here in the UK, though, you get litigation.
Yeah, someone's hair went on the fire in front of us.
No. I am here to entertain, and I enjoy entertaining safely.
Good. So, cool. Anyway, lots coming up on the show. We're going to kick it straight off with a look at Earth Week.
Our Earth Week, and for the first time, the hundreds of stations in the UK are being joined by stations from around the planet, which is absolutely brilliant for this week. I'm joined by Katie and Amy. Now, Katie, before we get into it, you're already involved knee-deep, or I'd say neck-deep, with environmental issues on your job. So could you just describe what you do?
Yeah, so I have the pleasure of working in the climate team at the Forest of Dean District Council. And my role is all around community climate engagement work. So I have a very long title that I always have to look at my badge to get right, which is Climate Change Community Programme Advisor. Wow. But what that really entails is all about working with our community groups, with our residents, sports clubs even, parish and town councils, and really getting all those groups involved and engaged, and really inspiring them about how they can make a difference and how working around climate action doesn't just have positive effects for the planet, but it has so many different interconnected benefits for society, for people. And this is why we say that we use what's called a co-benefits approach, and that really is a thread that runs through all the work that we do. Yeah, that's what I do here, and I've been lucky enough to get involved with Dean Radio, another participating station in our Earth Week. Yeah, really happy to be on Shout Out and another neighbouring station. So thank you so much for having us, Steffi.
You're very welcome. Now, you both come from a beautiful part of the country, the Forest of Dean and the Wye Valley. And if you are new to the West Country or listening across another side of the country or indeed across some of the planet, you probably know about the Severn Bridges. Well, there are actually two bridges that cross the Severn from the original bridge. So you've got the original Severn Bridge, but then you've got the Wye Bridge that's not as well known. And Amy, you actually play on the Wye.
Yes, I do. Hi, everyone. Yeah, I'm Amy and I work down the River Wye. So I run a programme called Queering the Wye, and it's part of the Wye Valley River Festival programme that sort of extends throughout the year. Yeah, so we work with LGBTQ people essentially. So the idea is that we are creating connections for the local community here with nature. And I think it's so important because basically there just was nothing before we started Queering the Wye. There was very little in terms of services available for people in these rural areas, say the Forest of Dean, Monmouthshire, you know, because we're sort of on the edge here on the River Wye. So our idea is to kind of like bring people together basically through nature and through sort of creative explorations of identity, and also looking at the diversity within nature and the different examples of queerness within nature. And the river's a really good example of that because, you know, it's so fluid, it's changing, you know, it softens edges, that kind of thing. So we kind of use quite a lot of metaphors in our work.
So tell us more in more detail of what you've got planned for the week of our Earth Week.
Wow. Okay. Well, I've got planned for my show. We're starting off with some context setting by one of our cabinet members who's a champion for rivers. Then we're going to be talking about lots of different kind of different work that's been going on around water across the district. So got businesses involved, got advocacy groups like Save the Wye campaign, and some clips from the Blue Earth Summit that I was able to go and visit a couple of weeks ago, and I got some great voice messages from different organisations whilst I was at the Blue Earth Summit. And then we'll also be talking about some really local stuff and projects that we've been doing. So like we're going to talk about today, the LGBTQIA plus Community Climate Action Plan work that myself and Amy are involved with. And Amy was our trusted messenger through the work with Queering the Wye. And that was fantastic piece of work, which we'll tell you more about, and really helped to create some long-lasting projects that have now come out of it around water. So I'm not going to spoil the show because I want Amy to tell you about that. But yeah, we'll be talking more about some of these projects that we did. There's another project myself and Amy worked on to create another kind of community climate action plan piece. This time it was working with one particular town in the Forest of Dean called Colford, and one of the recommendations that came out of that citizen visioning piece of work, it was called, was a recommendation all about water as well. So we'll be telling you more about that piece of work too. Your listeners might be aware of the Beaver project that's going on, so we'll be exploring that in more detail as well. So lots and lots of fun stuff to look forward to.
I'm just loving how you've called yourself Queering the Why. I just love that. That just says it all in that one little sentence, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. You know, it's about rethinking things, looking at things from different perspectives. And I think that was what was really interesting with the work that we did with the district council, actually, because we were, like Katie mentioned, you know, we're looking at these kind of environmental issues, but from a different lens, and looking at actually how everything is all interconnected. So quite a few of the actions that came out here were about like having better mental and physical health in the Forest of Dean, because, you know, a lot of the people that we worked with were saying that, they don't get equal access to healthcare. So, you know, and the idea of these co-benefits that kind of interconnect and how it's connected with the sort of wider climate change movement, I think it's actually really fascinating. So it was, so I think the process itself that we did with the Forest of Dean District Council was kind of an act of queering, kind of like brought people together from different backgrounds. Something that came out of it was that a lot of people were saying, you know, wow, they've actually got hope now. I think some of the work that we've done in the past with Queering the Why is young people saying how much hope they don't have anymore because of climate change, you know, the potentials that may well happen and how that kind of puts this darkness over people's future. But actually doing projects like this, it's showing that, no, we do have a voice and we can create change, even if it's step by step. And, you know, a lot of the kind of actions that have come out of our work, you know, some of them are quite small and some of them are longer lasting and will have a longer legacy. But I think it's just the idea that we can connect together, mm-hmm. and, you know, maybe not rely so much on all governments and things anymore, but we need to come together as kind of people, as grassroots level, you know.
Mm. Can you tell me a little bit more about what you do? Now, I can imagine a load of queer folk piling onto canoes and that, and white water rapiding down the Wye. Is that something that you actually do? Because that sounds so great.
So basically, we sort of connect with local communities and work and sort of work with them to identify some areas that they might want to work on. But there's a kind of framework that we focus on nature and creativity, and they're the kind of two pillars, really. So, for example, we went into Monmouth. This was about 3 years ago. This was one of our first projects, and there was a youth group there. A lot of the young people were LGBTQIA+, and they said, you know, let's make some cards that kind of explore nature's diversity, so like queer nature, which was sort of exploding at the time. So we did a project with those guys. Then also they were talking about, oh, wouldn't it be amazing to have a fire, you know, and just sit around a fire and chill, which is something really quite basic, but a lot of people don't necessarily have that experience. So we then started to create these kind of outdoor sessions, like you mentioned. It doesn't include canoeing at the moment, but we do a lot of sort of heritage crafts like pewter smelting and, you know, just like we said, sitting around a fire, maybe going to collect wood, doing some nettle cordage making, things like that, kind of bushcraft really, but from a queer perspective. So we always get queer or, you know, LGBTQ+ facilitators who come in and kind of share their experiences.
Running out of time fast, so is there anything you want to squeeze in before we have to go?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to just quickly go through this project because I think it's a fantastic example of how we can really put into practice something practical around making changes and bringing in that kind of intersectionality that we mentioned. So the Community Climate Action Plan project, we did a survey, first of all, which was one of the first times that we've heard the voices of the LGBTQIA plus community in the Forest of Dean. And that survey was open from November to March and of this year. And that gave us a real snapshot of the LGBT plus community and explored the crossover of those intersectional issues around climate and identity. And from that, we then did these fantastic workshops. And out of that came the recommendations and the priorities that the people, our participants, really, really wanted to focus on. So those were protecting nature, physical and mental health, and strengthening communities. And each of those came with another three actions, and which breaks down into lots of other little actions, which we now have a fantastic plan to work with. And it's then broken down into its carbon impact and its co-benefits on the rest of the community. And these are now a fundable pipeline of projects that we're now constantly feeding into other areas of work, so into our council climate and nature strategy and action plan for the future and the engagement program that I work on. So we're really looking at how we can put all of these outputs into other work that we're doing. So I think it's a fantastic example of something that is really, really impactful and going to make a difference kind of going forwards. And I'd love Amy to mention one of the projects that's already come out of it, because it's so relevant to our Earth Week.
Okay, Amy.
Yeah, so we're lucky enough, one of the people that the participants that came worked at Court Farm Lakes, which some people may have heard of. It's getting quite a good reputation in the area. So it's a wild swimming lake that some local people from the Forest of Dean have kind of set up, and it's an amazing space. And one of the people there, Sean, who works there and kind of works a bit with Queer in the Y as well, and they decided that, you know, from one of the actions that we were discussing, like Katie said, we did discuss physical health, you know, and they thought, actually, wouldn't it be fantastic to have an LGBTQIA plus sort of group there, a you know, specific swimming time where we can all kind of come together and get in the water together. And I think they were thinking, because they're non-binary, you know, they didn't, there's women's groups, there's men groups, but where do they fit into that? So now we, on every Wednesday, even going into the cold weather, some of the people from the group, but also again, it's opened up the network again. So we've got people that were maybe part of Queer in the Y, some people that came to this session, but other local people as well that come together on a sort of Wednesday evening at 5 p.m. and get together and do some swimming. And they've also got a sauna there, which is amazing, and a cafe. We've also got some other projects potentially in the pipeline where we're going to be offering more outdoor sessions for young people. And to be honest, there's so much that we can sort of move towards, and we're going to be working across the Forest of Dean with different partners. So it's actually really exciting. It's an exciting time actually here in the Forest of Dean to be LGBTQ. I feel like there's a little bit of a kind of a blossoming or flowering of stuff happening, which is fantastic, because it's just such an area, like Katie said, that, you know, from the district council point of view, they hadn't really had many voices from the community before. So it's just fantastic, really.
Yeah. And it's worth mentioning that actually where this project came from was a piece of work that took place in Bristol that the Bristol Climate and Nature Partnership did, creating community climate action plans for different identity groups and groups of place. And so it was through adopting that piece of work to fit more with a kind of rural context that this whole project kind of blossomed. So
really good. Yeah, well, good luck to both of you going forward. And like I said, I really hope to have you back on the show outside of our Earth Week, because we don't ever stop being committed to stopping pollution and waste and just being mindful, I think, of humanity and of course the queer community, and doing what we can for those people, especially like you've both said, in the current climate. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you ever so much.
Good luck going forward, both of you.
Thank you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
That's quite a laid back one, that one. That's from the film Heretic, which you can watch on Netflix at the moment. If you don't like horrors, don't watch it.
No, I won't be watching that. It's,
are you not a horror fan?
No, it's scary.
It's got Hugh Grant as main lead in it.
I love the way Hugh Grant has started as lovely, lovely, charming puppy, floppy hair boy, like, and now he's just like the main villain in most things, notably Paddington.
But plays the villain very well.
He's a good bad guy.
It's a real psycho type thriller. That one, yeah, but that's obviously called Knocking on Heaven's Door, and that's by Sophie Thatcher. In case you like it. So I love Shazam. You can be like watching anything on TV and you're like, oh, I like the sound of that, and you can Shazam it. And then
this whole show is basically
show.
Your musical taste, isn't it, Andy? yeah, we know a lot about Andy's musical taste, yeah.
So I don't know. So did you like that? It's a bit of a, you know, I always end up playing dancey things, so I thought I'd do something a bit more mellow.
Mm. Rock, but then that would be my choice, but then we've got Rock Show before this, so.
Rock Show's now after as well. The main rock show that comes over from Cardiff is, yeah, so it's on BCFM.
Sandwich. We're in a rock sandwich here.
Yeah, it's Rebel on the Radio before us here on BCFM. Mm. They do lots of live music as well. Sometimes you can't get in the studio for like half an hour because there's guitars and pianos and all sorts just exiting the room. So, did you play any instruments?
I used to play the saxophone as a kid because I was that nerdy kid that played the saxophone.
I so wanted to
learn it. I did not have friends and I played the saxophone and I was
really
bad at hockey.
It's expensive though. My school didn't have one I could borrow.
Right, okay.
So I wasn't allowed. So I ended up with a trumpet.
I think I still
like
have mine if you want. I can like phone my mum, see it might like be in the attic. There you go.
Well, ironically, the last time my parents visited, they went, we brought you something. And they brought my trumpet from when I was 12.
Oh, that's adorable, Andy. That's like, so cute.
Where have you had this? They're like, it's been in the loft since you left secondary school. I'm like, Mum, I'm 47.
There we go.
It's a long time.
There we go.
Anyway, should we get some news headlines?
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 6th of November, 2025.
A trans nurse working within an NHS has spoken about the gap between lived reality and the way trans healthcare staff are portrayed in the media. They say that sensationalisation reporting distorts the profession and intensifies workplace pressures. The nurse is calling for trauma-informed leadership, strong peer support and policy shaped by evidence rather than political and tabloid rhetoric.
Three new MPs have joined Parliament's Women and Equalities Committee, including Labour's Nadia Whittam, who has consistently advocated for LGBTQ+ inclusion in education, healthcare and public services. The committee is currently reviewing the implications of the Supreme Court ruling on the definition of woman under the Equality Act. The appointments are expected to bring sharper focus to how policy affects people on the ground rather than abstract debate.
Newham College at Cambridge University have confirmed it will continue to admit trans women, following legal scrutiny after the Supreme Court ruling. The college says its gender policy remains lawful under the Equality Act and includes provisions for dignity, privacy and support. The decision comes amid pressure from anti-trans campaign groups. The college stressed that its position reflects the academic values of inclusion and respect.
New surveillance figures show a 20% decrease in new HIV diagnoses in Wales last year, alongside record levels of testing and increased access to PrEP. Public Health Wales says the reduction reflects strong partnerships between health services and community organisations. Campaigners caution that continued investment is essential to maintain and build on the progress.
Coverage continues this week of the UK's first LGBTQ Armed Forces Memorial, unveiled recently to honour service personnel and veterans affected by decades of discriminatory policies. Veterans groups say that the memorial is a meaningful step, but stress that ongoing support and recognition is still needed for those dismissed or disadvantaged before the ban was lifted.
Bristol's Lost Horizon hosted its first queer wrestling night, Fist Club, combining drag, performance and full contact wrestling. Organisers say the event was about reclaiming physical space and challenging assumptions around gender and strength. The audience turnout suggests growing appetites for queer-led live culture that is bold, playful and unapologetically visible.
In New York, Mayor-elect Zanran Mamdani used the victory speech to reaffirm the city's commitment to LGBTQ rights, describing New York as a place for refuge in a period of national uncertainty. His plans include expanding access to healthcare, housing and legal support for trans and queer residents, particularly young people and migrants.
A new global review from ILGA World has found that 4 in 5 countries still lack explicit anti-bullying protections for LGBTQ plus students in schools. The report warns that the absence of these protections contributes to isolation, reduced access to education, and poorer mental health outcomes. The findings reinforce the importance of secure, inclusive environments for young people.
In Australia, rugby player Reece Walsh has drawn widespread support after responding to homophobic heckling during the Ashes test. Walsh, who was being mocked for wearing nail polish, later said he wears it for his daughter and is unbothered by the criticism. The incident has reopened discussions about masculinity, image and acceptance in professional sport.
Several nominees for Cycling UK's annual 100 Women in Cycling list have declined their nominations in protest at the charity's decision to limit eligibility to cisgender women only. The change follows the recent Supreme Court ruling on the legal definition of woman. Among those who have withdrawn is endurance cyclist Dr. Sarah Ruggins, who currently holds the record for riding from John O'Groats to Land's End and back. In a statement, she said she would not accept recognition from a panel that excludes trans women and non-binary riders, adding that the decision denies people dignity, inclusion and opportunity. Campaigners and cycling groups have expressed concern that the policy undermines community building efforts and risks reinforcing discrimination within the sport.
That's Shoutout News. We will be back next week for more. In the meantime, do check out LGBTQIA and community media near you. Listen to LGBTQI podcasts and radio and check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Matthew Tosh
and Tara Fraser.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Oh, there you go. I promise, sorry, that was a Halloween one from last week. It's kind of still Halloween. It's just because we have the fireworks.
It's very enchanting, that.
Yeah, that's it's from one of the Marvel ones. Is it Agatha something?
Agatha All Along.
Yeah, there you go. That's the Ballad of the Witch's Road. So should have played it last week, really, shouldn't I? So,
no, anyway. It's good. Witch music is always good all year round.
It's that time of year.
Yeah, that's all right. You can always play witch music. It's
good. Yeah, you can't get Halloween decorations and put them out for one night, really, can you?
People are already doing Christmas. And I know. It's upsetting, and I'm not happy about it. But yeah,
always use the word. Oh my god.
Anyway, should we introduce our guest?
Yeah, we shall. We've got Vicky Lane in. I didn't say her full name at first, and she did like lean over and went, "Do you want to know my surname?" Welcome, Vicky. Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on.
No problem. And we now know your full name. You've come to talk about a new comedy night that you are promoting and putting on. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, sure. It's a new night called Lip Service. It's an open mic. I would describe it as Flinter, but I don't think that's... I'm new Flinter. To Bristol, and I don't think people know what Flinter is.
No, I don't. What is Flinter?
It's a term... I've come over from Berlin, and it's a term used there that stands for female, lesbian, inter, non-binary, trans and agender. I think it's kind of like an inclusive term for basically anybody who isn't a cis man.
Which might be why you've not heard it. To be fair, it might not, you know.
Describing it here as kind of a female, women-focused and LGBT trans-inclusive open mic event.
So that's the lineup, which is Flinter.
It is, yes. Anybody can come along to the audience. Yeah.
So you can come to the night, Andy.
Yeah, I would encourage you to.
I wouldn't be daring enough to stand up and do comedy anyway. So.
Well, do you want to tell us about who you think might be performing, or who you know is performing?
We've got... It is an open mic, so it's going to really range in abilities and kind of experience, if you like, from people who've just started. We've got a great comedian called Abby Miles, who has done over like 150 gigs, taken part in the, I think, Bristol Funny Women's Competition and things like that. Hopefully there'll be some people in the audience on the night as well well as I like it when somebody jumps up and go, and I get to give them the chance to have their first
amazing
first go on stage. So if you are in the audience and you feel you're not sure whether you want to have a go or not, then I would really encourage you to come along and kind of decide if you want to jump up on the night. I will always put somebody like that on.
That's fantastic. So you're emceeing it, are you?
I am, yes.
Yeah. And if so if people want to perform, what do they have to do? What's the...
Well, first and foremost, they can find me on Instagram under vicky.whatsthestory, or you can just search for Lip Service, or it's actually Bristol Comedy Den. And you can find me through there and send me a message, and I will get you on for the next one.
Amazing. So what made you want to start an open mic, LGBTQ, Flinter-centred comedy night?
We're going to end up using that phrase again.
That's such a big mouth. It's like the whole 12 minutes, isn't it? Just naming it.
Yeah, it's good.
I've just moved from Berlin. I've been there for the last 4 years, kind of performing on the comedy scene there. I was really inspired by lots of Flinter and kind of female-focused comedy nights and performance in the city there. And I've only been in Bristol since the start of September.
You didn't hang around, did you? No, not at all. We need a comedy night. I know this, and I will bring it to the city. That's fantastic.
And I got in touch with Louis, who owns Sydney and Eden, the bar where it's happening on Gloucester Road. He was putting a shout out for new promoters. So I got in touch with him and said, yeah, I want to bring this model. And we realised that there used to be one in Bristol, apparently for a few years, and then a couple of years ago the people that were running it like went off to that London. So we
take
kind
all
of,
the good stuff.
I know they so do. There was okay. this nice perfect storm of me arriving, bringing all this kind of Berlin influenced scene stuff, and then like the knowing that there's like a gap there and that there is an audience for it.
So. Do you perform as well as part of the emceeing?
MCing is part performing. I do improv comedy as well, and I do kind of 5 and 10 minute sets and things like that, and proper, you know, full comedy sets. But to be honest, I love hosting, and I love the spontaneity. I love the engagement with like being in the moment and the fact that it's different every time. So there's a little bit of material in there, but really it's responding to what's going on the night, really.
So have you ever had to deal with the age-old hecklers?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But to be honest with you, I'm an ex-secondary school teacher, so, like, there is no heckler that is more challenging than a 14-year-old, and I just go in with that energy.
Do you switch on your teacher stare?
I do. I've actually told people to stop chewing and go and spit their chewing gum out and stuff like that as well. Nights and, you know.
So it'll be a very well-behaved night then.
Oh, absolutely.
But
yeah,
still
no
lots of fun.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. I'll try and keep the teacher voice in reserve for really desperate measures.
Oh, my God, she's doing the teacher voice. Oh my God.
The naughty ones in the back of the room. Yeah.
That'll be Andy. Andy's going to be going along. Awesome. So do you think, I mean, you've been here not very long, but I mean, what is your feeling on the Bristol comedy scene at the moment? Have you managed to see any good stuff? Do you think this is, what do you think this is for the means for the Bristol queer and comedy scene? Can you extrapolate with your 7 weeks of experience?
7 weeks of experience. Yeah, no, to be honest with you, we were talking about it earlier. I've just been like absolutely immersing myself and throwing myself in. I've really loved like going to see the Brizzle Boys, going to see...
They're very well known.
Yeah, going to see the Queer as Cabaret.
Yes, at Old Market Assembly.
Yeah, that I believe that I'm going to go and check out a night at the Shame. What's the next?
Seamus O'Donnell's.
I don't even know the names of all the pubs or anything yet.
There's so many now, it's good.
And there's a great open mic run by June Tuesday on Monday nights as well. That's confusingly. I've been going to see lots of really great stuff, and there's lots out there, and that was part of the reason really that I chose to move to Bristol, you know, and a lot of these comedians that actually are coming to perform are coming from like around the southwest. It seems to be a bit of a hub, really.
I do know that Bristol Pride, there's always a Pride comedy night which always features queer comics, and it's always the first event to sell out. Instant tickets are announced for Bristol Pride.
Oh, amazing.
The comedy night goes just like that.
Same with the trans one as well.
And there's a trans one too. Yeah. Sorry, Tara, that's fantastic. And have you been?
Trans comedy night. But it's moved to spring this year. But
oh, right, yes, yeah, with Trans Pride, and Trans Pride has a comedy night as well.
I feel slightly like I'm doing things like back to front, do you know what I mean? I'm just putting a night on before I've like been to see everything, but the opportunity's there, why not?
You can do it anywhere, you can do it in Bristol, because is renowned for being such an eclectic place and has such a variety of stuff. And let's face it, the world at the moment, especially in the LGBT community with our trans friends, is not a happy place. So having comedy to bring it in your life is well worth it.
Yeah, and it's this really is fronting. I think there's a good proportion of the people that are performing on Sunday are trans or would identify as trans performers, and I'm really keen to make that inclusive at the minute. I think that Flinter term is really important, that it's like an inclusive space.
You might have to
put
on the ticket what it means, though.
Yeah, well, I've not put it on, so this is my first to get that word out there, right?
No, it's good.
So what's the plan? Is it going to be like a monthly thing? Is that what you're thinking? Or,
well, we're going with this first one, and then hopefully if we get a good turnout, so please do come down and support, you know, then we'll be able to book them in future. Yeah, I'm hoping to be able to.
So let's just go back to, you say it's open mic. If someone's listening to this thinking, I think I've got some material, I mean, do you give guidelines? You say people turn up, and if they're feeling confident, you might let them have a go on the night, but how does it actually work?
Do you mean in terms of what materials?
Do you expect a performer to go for a particular length of time? What guidelines do you give for people who want to have a go?
Yeah, we say 5 to 7 minutes. I think five is a lot for somebody who's getting up for the first time, right? So if you can't make it to five, that's
tight
fine.
Five. That's what they call it, isn't it?
Yeah. Only tight five. We'll just get people up. They'll do their 5 to 7 minutes. They'll get a little signal to get off so that they don't overrun, because that's the other common thing with people who are new. And then, we'll just put on as many people as we can, really. Like I say, I have the lineup, but I would just say if anybody does turn up, even if they're just thinking, I've just got like one gag, one joke, and it's their first time, you've got to start somewhere, right? And the reason that I love these spaces and I love doing Flinter-focused or women and queer-focused spaces is like, we understand that, and we can make the time and space for it in a really supportive environment, really, as well, you know. So that is always my ethos when I put things like this on.
I naively don't know the venue. Is it a more intimate type one?
Oh, it's lovely. I went down there the other day. It's and they put comedy on most nights. It's called Sydney and Eden, and they've got a really lovely upstairs bar, and then they open the venue like during lockdown, I think, but then started doing comedy just afterwards. And they chose the venue specifically because it has a downstairs room where they could put comedy on. So it's a nice, intimate, 50 capacity, lovely decor kind of, what's it called? Like specific space for comedy. And that's why they chose it. So
it's not, you're not in front of an audience of 1,000 or something, is it?
And you know, bring your friends down and get your friends to support you. It's always good.
That's amazing. So you're talking about being quite familiar with Flinter spaces in Berlin, and we know that there's one in London. It seems like there might be a bit of a gap in the market for Bristol. So there's not just comedy. Is there anything else that you think might benefit from this kind of label?
Oh, just everything. I don't know. My personal interest, I genuinely don't know what's out there yet. So I wouldn't like to speak for all of Bristol's queer Flinter saying that they've not got stuff going on. You know what I mean? But I think if you can do it like we were talking earlier, right? If there's an activity or an event that you can do, then you can definitely do a Flinter version of it. So.
Fantastic. Are there any other performers that you want to sort of, I mean, you talked about Abby. Are there any other performers that you kind of want to highlight whilst you're here, because you said you've watched a few YouTube clips? And
I think there's also the wonderful Ziggy Cooper, who I actually met doing a theatre workshop, and he's the wonderful drag performer as well, and is bringing some more like character focused comedy to the night, so for a little bit of variety as well.
Fantastic. Nice. Can you talk about what style of comedy, I mean, obviously we never know what might pop up on the open mic night, but what style of comedy are the performers bringing? What's their, What do you think, if you were going to say, oh, they're like...
And what's yours?
Yeah. Ooh, a good question. Mine is tends to just be like embarrassing stories about coming out and the stupid things and that I've done along the way.
We did say that's like a universal lesbian experience. Exactly.
So, again, I think this is the thing. So like a lot of the people are doing quite observational comedy, but when you try and do queer observational comedy at a regular comedy night, then the number of people in the audience that are going to have that laugh of recognition with you is minimal. And I've done it before where I've kind of said a joke that goes down a treat in a queer venue. You do it at a straight venue and everybody just looks at you kind of supportively, or like they're trying to be a good ally rather than
like
laugh.
Like we did when you mentioned Flinter, basically.
Exactly, yeah. Just sit and go, oh, yes, well, what? Yes. And politely clap or like go, and stroke their chins. Whereas obviously, like, people doing that kind of observational stuff about their experiences, there's like that immediate click of recognition that gets the laugh and really like
creates a nice atmosphere. But that is kind of cool. I would never want to exclude anyone, but...
Yeah.
There's something kind of nice about our own community, understanding our own things and having a laugh and others being like, what?
Yeah, and having it kind of reflected back at you in a humorous way, because like so much, I was messaging a friend the other day who was moaning about like misery lesbian lit and just kind of, I just want a cheerful book. can we laugh at ourselves about this?
You know, the lesbians are never happy. We just sit in the corner clutching our beer, clutching our IPA craft ale and...
I suppose it is a good question. Are we too PC for some of the jokes?
Well,
these days.
Do you know what?
Are we good at having a laugh at ourselves?
I think so, and I don't think that's like... you can have a laugh at yourself without like slighting yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like, there is so much scope for comedy that doesn't hurt or harm groups or individuals. Like, there's so many ways to be funny, and... we can do that. Like, they're not mutually exclusive, do you know what I mean? So I think, yeah, absolutely, we can laugh at ourselves, as long as we're being kind to ourselves at the same time and not I'm very keen on, you asked me what my style was, I'm very keen on making sure that I don't like put myself down, really, apart from in things, not in a serious way, do you know what I mean? So there's room for all that kind of positive representation and still being funny.
I mean,
we
all have a funny story about our coming out.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
I came out to my mum, she said, you can't be gay, you're too untidy. But it's genuinely also true. Actually did say that. So what's the plan on the night? What time is it kicking off? Do we need tickets?
Yeah.
If you want to perform, do you need to know before, or can you do it on the night?
Most of the performers, as I say, are booked in, but if anybody wants to have like a first go, I would be open to people coming down on the night, and if they can't perform, then I would try and get them on at the next one. Doors are at 7:30 at Sydney and Eden. Show starts at 8. Tickets are available on Head First, and you can find the link on my social media at vicky.whatsthestory or on Bristol Comedy Den on Instagram.
Cool. How long do you think it's going to go on for? Several hours, or is it just...
Oh, the event. I was asking you more long term. Longitudinal, like, what's the future?
Well,
what's the future?
Too, but on that particular is it a short thing you're doing for a first one, an hour, or are you planning on going late into the evening?
It's a Sunday night. Most people have got work in the morning. I would imagine it won't be a super late one, though. Like, you could still be tucked up in bed with, like, I don't know, what's on Sundays at the minute? I've 100 finished. Oh, maybe.
I don't know. It's a thing.
They're all finishing, aren't they?
So, yeah, okay. So, yeah, this is a roaring success. A year's time, what does this look like in a year's time? Can you even think that far, or are you just trying to get to next week?
Yeah, at the minute. Okay. I'm still trying to get a job on a house.
You've been here 6 weeks. What are your plans for a year's time? You know?
To have taken over the city.
She's still trying to get a job at the house, but she's already managed to put on a comedy night.
Yeah. I have priorities. Got my priorities.
You do not hang around. Yeah. It's good.
More comedy, yeah.
Oh, it's been amazing talking to you. Thanks very much, Vicky.
Can I plug one more thing?
You've got all the time in the world.
I'm also doing the big takeover. I've also managed to join an improv team.
You've joined the Eastern Cowgirls.
And I've joined the Eastern Cowgirls, so I'm going over to the Plough after this for a pint with them, because I'm missing training.
Absolutely.
But so next Friday on the 14th, down at the Bristol Improv Theatre, you can see me doing improv with my new improv team.
Amazing.
Which will be amazing. Again, awesome. Tickets on Head First.
Okay.
Cool. I've been improv. I presume you don't know anything about what is going to happen.
Absolutely not. Seat of the pants stuff. It's great.
Yes, and that's all I know.
Yes, and
so that's quite a talent. That, I mean, some of you remember Mitch, who's a former shout outer. She did improv, didn't she? And they were amazing at it. But you watch them, and the audience would just throw random things. They say, like, you know, give us 5 words, and they just improv around it. Like, how on earth do you do that?
So good. Right. So I will now end the interview. You can tell why they keep me on the news desk, can't you? Right, okay, just stick to the news, read the script, use your voice, that's it. So, but thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And, you know, by all means, please do come back if you've got future events that you want to talk about. Love to
try
have you anytime.
And keep me away.
Yeah, now you know where we are.
You're opposite the pub.
Yeah, we are. We are opposite a very good pub. So, yeah, it's all good. Thank you.
Cool. You're listening to Shout Out. Stay with us. Back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's called You Will See. That's Quarterhead and Sessa. I think that's how you say
Sessa.
It. Sessa, yes.
That was a different beat.
S-E-S-A, yeah. I like it. It's a funky one, that. A bit summery, to be fair, actually. But, you know, I mean, it's. Did you hear yesterday was the warmest bonfire night on record?
I can believe it. It's really mild this week. It's. I mean, I feel the cold these days. I'm getting old, you say, and I'm just wearing a t-shirt. I would like to say I am actually wearing other clothes, but I'm just on the top. I'm just wearing a t-shirt, which normally in November I've got jumpers on, layers. You know,
but the week before it was cold.
It was.
So it's yo-yoing at the moment.
But the garden's really confused. It doesn't know where it's coming or going.
Yeah, you know, the trees have left all its leaves, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, could I kept them?
So, and they'd suffer from the summer as well, haven't they? Where it'd been such drought, and apparently they all drop their leaves quite early.
They do drop their leaves, and then if the branches have dried out, and then they get a sudden surge of water, and then they're weaker, they get heavy, and they fall off, and so you've got rows being blocked and things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, you do where I live now. I'm out in the sticks, you see.
Are you?
Not in the city life anymore.
I see them bagging up leaves. Honestly, the council bag up leaves into big plastic bags. You're thinking, well, what, is that really environmentally friendly?
Yeah, just let them mulch, well, surely.
I thought they'd take them away, and that's you end up buying it in B&Q.
Mulch them elsewhere, don't they?
Do they? Okay.
Bristol's very good at all that kind of stuff. They mulch it all down.
You don't want it to mulch in the drain, because then the road floods.
My street does, yeah.
Stinks like when they pump the drains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, have we just talked about mulch for the last 20 seconds? Yeah. Are we showing our age? Yeah. Oh, it's a good mulching. Yeah, no, I like it. It's all very, very good.
Vicky's off to the pub and we're talking about mulch.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, okay,
Gardener's World.
You lot are weird. We're like, yeah, no, we like talking about leaves and mulching.
We talk about all sorts, keep everyone informed here,
it
don't
works.
We?
No, I'm comfortable with it.
It is cool because the cats come in. The cats keep
No, mine's scared of the fireworks at the moment. And I don't blame him. You know, if you're a little animal, it is quite scary, all those bangs going off, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I see my cat for 2 seconds every day, but so, yeah, it works.
I love seeing him with the snow. You ever seen an animal when it first starts?
Yes,
first
time they ever see it. They do go crazy. So. Yeah.
Anyway, that's it for this week. Do take care this weekend as the fireworks continue. I'm sure they will.
If you want to just snuggle away at home, grab one of our podcasts to join you from any of the good podcast service. Just search for Shout Out LGBT Radio or head to shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, it's tea time. For myself, I can say this, for Matthew Tosh, from Tara, and...
from Lucy, who can really only read news.
No.
Say bye-bye, everyone.
Cheerio.
Bye. Bye.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.